This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I have tricked Kevin into thinking we are going to talk about one topic when actually all I want to talk about is Jamal Adams. Kevin, your thoughts on Jamal Adams, 877-881-1053. Do you want to trade 7 first-round picks for Jamal Adams or no?
Okay.
Go.
Check it out. I understand there's a there's two different things here, Corey. I understand why this comes up in our business. It doesn't mean I have to like it because I think it's a fake story. It's the same thing. You know how I felt with the Dak contract.
Dak's contract, yeah.
Every time, anytime anybody says anything, the whole world freaks out. And I sit here and I'm like, none of this is real. Did he sign the deal? Not interested. Is Jamal at, like, what's the Jets actively say? We are going to trade Jamal Adams. Let the offers come in. Then I'll be like, oh my God. It's really happening. But until then, like, he's frustrated. So says, Gary Adams? I'm not kidding.
Gary Myers.
Gary Myers, thank you. So says Gary Myers. Great. He was frustrated before the draft. He was frustrated in the offseason. He was frustrated last season. He's been frustrated for like a year about his contract. How is this any different? I just think this is a non-real story.
It just I think what it does, again, it brings the question up. And the reality is the Cowboys have a lot of roster adjustments they've made. Do they look at the roster and say, we're done? And are they willing to – I mean, they were willing at one point to make a move with, was it a second-round pick, a second and a third? They were willing to do that then. Would they be willing to make that just a slight more bit of a budge? And I haven't changed that I would want the player because, for the real topic now, what kind of defense do you want for this Cowboys team this year? 877-881-1053. What's the one thing you want them to change the most from what they've done over the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever?
Can I just throw one other thing out there about Jamal to your point is I just don't understand why that doesn't get done at the draft then when draft picks are worth more. You know, like I think you could have got a better deal than you will now. You know what I'm saying?
The Jets didn't like the picks. They thought, you know, they were like, we don't, that's not for us. I do wonder that, you know, after they saw the Cowboys take CeeDee Lamb with that pick, if they were like, well, dang it, we could have done that instead. So maybe that's the case.
So to answer your question is I want the defining word to be aggressive. Okay? Now, like, I get logically aggressive would make sense from the front four. My interest in aggression, though, is like Jalen Smith doing the delayed blitz. I think he's super effective at that. And then now that you're changing things up with your defensive coordinator and all that, I would like your defensive backs to not always like go, this is going to sound weird, to go into defensive mode, you know, where they're staring at the receiver's eyes just to knock the ball down instead of saying, you know what, once in a while, we're going to go make a damn play and we're going to go get the football. So I would like aggressive to be the one descriptor of this defense.
Yeah, I think that, you know, whenever the Cowboys would send a guy, you felt like, oh, once I have evaded the pressure from that side, I have space and I'm comfortable. And that's what I've got real upset with the Cowboys because they couldn't apply pressure up the middle. And then when they tried to get it from the edge, it was too late. Now, I know there are a lot of guys that you're like, man, that happens to a lot of teams, but there are other defenses that when you say swarm, once pressure comes from one direction, you see it coming from the other direction, and you can't breathe. And that's what I want. Yeah. That's the kind of defensive front that I want them to have in that when the defensive line comes off the ball, you're like, oh, crap, they're already on me. And then if we're blitzing, it comes late and, oh, crap, the guy that I – the space I vacated to that I thought was going to be empty and open and I could get to is not. And I don't know where to go with the ball because they took everything away from me. So, yeah, Kevin, when you say aggressive, that's what I think, in that I thought that they would blitz and go, okay, we've already blitzed that guy. So let's not put any other pressure on this guy, because that pressure that we applied should get him. But it didn't, and that was the problem there. So that's the – I love hearing you say aggressive. Mike, what if you were to change one thing from last year, what is it for you?
Well, obviously I'd like for up the middle to be better, your defensive tackle slash linebacker situation. But I'm going to be realistic here, Corey, and I'm going to say I just want the defense to give us the ability to win the game. Because let's look over the next 4 years. We're never going to have a good defense. We can't.
Oh, no.
We're going to be paying a quarterback $35 to $40 million, a running back $15 million. We're going to be paying the most for offensive linemen in the NFL. We're paying $20 million for a wide receiver. We drafted another wide receiver in the first round. We're paying $8 million for our tight end. Michael Gallup will be coming up in 2 years. I don't know if we're going to be pay him or not.
Right.
But the majority of our salary cap is going to be on the offensive side. So defensively, it can't be dominant. If it is, we're going to be Super Bowl champs by far, because we would be paying not much money.
I like that. Let's talk more about that, Mike.
So that's what I hope. But I would just say the defense, it needs to be solid. I love the word aggressive, but if you just look at it realistically with a salary cap situation, I don't know how great the defense can be when you are paying that much money to your offensive side.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and that's what I like seeing this from the fan text too. I want to be the kind of team that gives the ball back to the offense. Yeah. So we can go get that 40 burger. I want to be team 40 burger. I absolutely do. And you know what? I was looking, Kevin, a while back, and maybe it was CBS Sports, and they did that breakdown, the entire analysis of each game on the Cowboys schedule. And they had scores, and a lot of the scores were Cowboys 35 or up. And I was interested in that and very impressed that they could put the Cowboys there. But a lot of people feel like the Cowboys are going to be scoring points this year, and it has to do with Mike McCarthy's offense. Now, Xavier Woods did a conference call, and when he was asked about the defense, he said the biggest difference is just a lot more defenses, to be honest. More than what we played the last 2 years. More than just cover three. More than just man-to-man. We're going to make the coverages all look the same with all the defenses we've got in. I'd say a lot more disguising with what we're doing at the snap. And that's for me, that's massive. Because
so deception, maybe, young, is one of your words?
I think Troy Aikman said it. I think there were multiple coordinators the Cowboys went against that said, with young quarterbacks, for some reason, the Cowboys did not choose to disguise their defenses. They did not choose to go out there. They said, here's what we do. You beat us. And I don't know how you do that when everybody can figure you out. Everybody can recognize what you already do. And if you're not even giving them a glimmer of something else, they're going to figure you out and they're going to expose you. And that's what happened to the Cowboys. You start to feel comfortable with third down when you know what the defense is going to do on third down, and you don't have to get to – you can get to first and second down. You're like, okay, we're still comfortable here because we got three chances to do this, because they're not going to do anything different. So that's what when I hear him say, just like, the difference for this defense is that they have more defenses – that's a lot to learn. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to think about for the players. But I think it's going to help them a lot more. He also said the most important thing is communication. And I liked this line. If we're all wrong, then we're all right. Not only as a positional group, but we have to be on the same page. But the linebackers have to be on the same page. The defensive line and linebackers, just like Mike was talking about, it works on each level. But if we all fail, then we should all be doing it right, even if we got the wrong thing. You know, so it sounds like miscommunication was a big problem last year, where the secondary was doing one thing, the defensive line was doing another thing, and they weren't working together to get that defensive pressure, that swarming style.
When the 972 young quarterbacks struggle more against deceptions, which game was it when the when Aikman was really like, essentially he was like, I don't know what the hell they're doing out there because young quarterbacks can't deal with change. And we're
I think
just
it was
like,
the Jets. I really do. I think it may have been the Jets game that he was just like, yeah, young quarterbacks have no fear of this team because they don't do anything to disguise their defense.
And we're just like, eh, whatever. We don't need to change anything. Don't worry about it.
I think it's almost like Jason Garrett was so frustrated with – it was Rob Ryan who he had, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was so frustrated with Rob Ryan's confusing defense that there were so many sets, and then the defense was like, we can't handle all this. We don't understand it, and they weren't good. Is like, let's go get the most simplest defense we can have. And, like, I have no clue, like, if ever – somebody is like, hey, we're too simple. If Jason Garrett as the head coach was like, I don't care if we're too simple. The too complicated really screwed us up.
Yeah, no, I can understand that he wanted to streamline the process even more. If you're going to have a young team, sometimes it's real tough for them to grasp everything. And the Cowboys do have a relatively young team. They've been adamant about we're going to draft, we're going to incorporate those players from the draft, and sometimes you have to dumb it down a little bit. But as those players grow, as your team gets better, the talent does have to learn at some point. And
to your point, like when Jalen Smith last year was like, yeah, the defense is called as the defense we're running. Like we never made any adjustments by the offense lines up in a certain way or starts shifting a certain way. And Jalen Smith's like, I don't care. The defense was called and I'm not going to change it. Whether he wasn't educated enough, because I know he hasn't played a lot of NFL games. We have to remember that Jalen didn't even play at all his first year and barely played his second year. Is like maybe there was just a lack of education on like reading the offense and figuring out what was going on to make the right adjustments. But we need somebody, one of the linebackers, and it really lies on Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, I assume are going to be the linebackers out there the most. One of them has to become educated enough to change our defense when it needs to be changed.
Yeah, and like what you were saying, Mike, there, it makes sense when you consider like two seasons ago when Sean Lee got injured. And then he ended up on a headset and was talking to those guys is when we saw a market improvement in that linebacking play. And I mean, we all talk about how Sean Lee is on the field and how he, you know, he's a coach on the field and he knows this. And you could see the difference in play when you had someone like that viewing and was able to kind of tell them, maybe even in a Tony Romo type way, like, hey, I know what they called, but do this, right? Like, do this in this situation. And I agree with you there. You got to get somebody on the field who's able to suss out some of this stuff.
Reggie, when we watch the NFL Network and we get to see that inside mic'd up linebackers, who are the best linebackers? They're the ones calling out the play 2 seconds before the ball is snapped. So a defense is called. They see what's happening in the offense, and they know they've watched enough film to know, oh, crap, watch the pitch to the left, pitch to the left, pitch to the left, and then the ball snapped. Well, he just screamed it out. So all six guys on the defensive front knew where the ball most likely was going because whether it was Luke Kuechly or Sean Lee or, you know, name other great linebackers that we've seen mic'd up on NFL stuff is, and I'm going with the all or nothing stuff because those are the last two that I've seen kind of mic'd up with the, like they scream it a second or two, the ball is snapped. So they're letting them know all the defense where the ball's about to be.
I wanted to ask Kevin, this is a completely different subject from football. Is this an indefensible attempt at something?
Oh.
Aaron Judge's girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Was arrested for an extreme DUI. And during the time that she was arrested, she said, "Do you know who my boyfriend is?"
Oh.
This is going to be bad for me. I'm just saying that right now. He's a public figure, so like me being arrested for like having 2 glasses of wine is not okay.
2 glasses, so extreme DUI, isn't that like 3 times the legal limit?
Hold on. I know I'm not a bad person. You don't understand. You don't know who my boyfriend is. This is going to be so bad. Exactly. Then you don't understand. My boyfriend is in the spotlight in New York media in general, and now here I am handcuffed in Arizona. Like that is not good. And then finally, she said, "He plays baseball for the Yankees." So. Is that a moment where you're like, we can't do this anymore? You just name drop me to the police.
Yeah. I'm out on her, first of all, because, I mean, I'm not saying she's a bad person, but she definitely did a bad thing. If you get an extreme DUI, that's 3 times the legal limit. So you must have drank, I don't know if she counts a bottle as a glass.
Sometimes
she drank
glasses.
She drank at least 2 bottles of wine, and I think it's weird that, like, she goes from, I'm not a bad person to my boyfriend is important. Like, how? Well, how is that related? Like, I'm sure there's all kinds of people who date famous people who are awful people. So that's just a weird deal, and I'm sure they're going to have a talk about their relationship, but yeah, not good.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.